Welcome, Australia, to another week of it, another week of Martin Molloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's currently weathering that literary storm that's blown up around his Miles Franklin Prize-winning novel, The Hand That Bots the Winnie Blue. That's right. Relatives are disputing the author's claim that he is, in fact, the bastard son of Ted Mulry, Mick Molloy.
I can prove it. I'll take you for a look through my wardrobe. Satin flares, T-shirts, two sizes too small. I've got them all.
Oh, he's not joking, but hey, Mick, let's get things together because it's time for a big one. Yes, it's time for Mick Molloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you once again for joining me on this most prestigious of segments on the Martin Molloy merry-go-round. And thank you once again, Gracie, on the pianola. Well, down to business, Mike Tyson beat Peter McNeely in his comeback fight in just 89 seconds and picked up $34 million for his trouble. We've got Iron Mike on the line now. Mike, congratulations. It was all over pretty quickly.
Quickly. Mick, my jail sentence was longer than that.
Amazingly, it took longer to sing the Star Spangled Banner before the fight than the fight itself took to complete.
Yeah, yes, and I think it's great for boxing. You know, better music and more of it, Mick. Next fight, I'm going to ask them to play some Hootie and the Blowfish.
Sorry?
Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie's my hero.
Okay, it looked pretty intense when the two of you met in the ring just before the fight. What did you say to him?
I told him he looked like Ted Danson from Cheers.
And what did he say?
He had a laugh, but don't worry, Mick. I wiped the grin off his face when I showed him my Mighty Mouse tattoo.
Mighty Mouse? Don't you mean Mousy Tung?
No. It's right here. Hang on. Hey, that's not Mighty Mouse. Who's that guy? Where are his big ears?
Mike, you earned $34 million for the fight. That works out to $385,308.99 a second.
Whoa, man, that's a lot of burritos.
You said it. Did you realize you were worth that much?
Well, when I saw Anna Nicole Smith giving me the eye from the front row, I had, you know, a bit of an inkling.
Right. The fans seemed very disappointed it didn't last longer than a round.
Yes, it was very disappointing for them, for all of us, really.
But why you?
Well, because we didn't get to see that, you know, that chick in the bikini who carries around the numbers, you know, she was a real babe, too. Reminded me of those contestants at that Miss Teen USA pageant. Leave me in a room with her, and I'll show you how to lose $34 million in 89 seconds.
Okay, thank you for your time, Mike. Just before you go, you've beaten him to a pulp. Can you pronounce his name for us?
Sure. Peter McNeil. Peter McNeely. Peter McNeely.
We don't have the time.
S-A-F-M.
To Angel of Harlem here on Martin Molloy. And people, as regular listeners to the program would know, Mick and myself are fascinated by the emerging cult figure that is Uday Hussein, Saddam's eldest. And we've been craving Uday info on the show. And now that he's gone and blown away half his relos at a family get-together last week, the floodgates are open. And the papers are just chockers with Uday gear, profiles, lift-outs. He's in the social pages, all the celebrity columns, my favourite gun, that kind of stuff. He's been photographed going the tonguey with Kate Fisher. Everyone's jumping on the Uday bandwagon. And the great thing is that we're starting to join the dots and get a sense of the whole Uday picture. Now, he's described by one paper as the ultimate spoiled brat, a psychopath, multiple murderer, drunkard, womanizer, a man with deadly ambitions to get to the top, but with a lovable puppy dog nature and a cheeky smile. Well, that's a bit like hearing that Adolf Hitler loved to spend his weekends pottering around the kitchen and surprising friends with a batch of his famous homemade meringues. But Uday's behaviour last week at a dinner party where he's gunning down of Saddam's half-brother Watburn, Watburn's wife, son and three guards made conversation during the final course a little frosty, has been described as just a typical week for Uday, a man without moral or behavioural constraints of any kind. And listen to this story from one of the weekend papers. Yep. In his teens, Uday broke his elbow apparently, probably while strangling his nanny for misfiling his Desert Storm action figures. Uh-huh. But when a close friend visited him in hospital and expressed sympathy, Uday said that if the friend was indeed sorry, he must suffer with him, and immediately ordered his bodyguards to break his friend's elbow too. So there's a lesson there for Uday's friends. You know, if he's in hospital, just send some chockies, I think. But thank God it was just a busted elbow and not, you know, prostate trouble. But in 1988, here's another Uday anecdote.
Yep.
In 1988, Uday is said to have clubbed to death his dad's personal food taster because he was helping Saddam arrange love trysts with a married Iraqi Iraqi Airways. I've never heard of Iraqi Airways before. Fly the friendly skies with Iraqi Airways. He was helping him arrange love trysts with a flight attendant from Iraqi Airways. See, there's a tough job, though, isn't it? Saddam's food taster. I mean, dangerous enough work in itself. You're at the dinner table, so there's a good chance of getting shot. But then what happens? You're clubbed to death for lining your boss up with an air hostess. And what about the hostess herself? She'd be pretty, you know, pretty nervous, I think, at the moment. You know, she'd have that Iraqi Airways life jacket and safety whistle on at all times, I'm guessing. But there's more to Uday than just arm-busting antics and after-dinner mayhem. Listen to this. He runs his own newspaper, Babel.
Babel.
that's Uday's paper. I notice even Stuart Littlemore doesn't dare to take them on.
Oh, no.
But he's got his own TV news program, apparently, and that'd be, what, Uday Tonight, I think, probably. I'm sorry, have we got a drum for that, Gracie? No. And listen to this. He runs a chain of popular Baghdad chicken stores. Well, I bet they're popular. Imagine if he caught you going into Red Rooster. But what would his chain be? Uday Fried Chicken, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Where we want you to sympathise with your dinner. If we catch you breaking a wishbone, Colonel Uday will do the same to you. UFC, it's elbow snapping good.
Ooh, the Martin Malloy.
Hi, Tony Martin here from Martin Malloy. You know, in the last couple of years, our lives have been changed and enriched by major advances in communications technology, such as the internet.
Wow, look, someone's compiled a list of all the phrases you can make by rearranging the letters in the name Captain Picard.
Pay TV.
Whoa, this is fantastic. The Dukes of Hazzard, commercial free.
And virtual shopping.
Great, now I can get stuck in a queue, be treated rudely, impulse buy things I don't need, and run myself into debt, all from the comfort of my own lounge room.
But now, Martin Malloy is proud to bring you the newest and most exciting innovation hot off the information superhighway.
3D Radio.
Here's how it works. Simply by using the balance button on your stereo or car radio, you can select which feature of the program you wish to enjoy. Here's a quick demo. If you'd like to hear a very funny joke about Pamela Anderson, turn your balance knob to the left. If you'd like to hear the new single by Michael Bolton, Can I Touch You There, turn it over to the right. Here we go.
Baywatch star Pamela Anderson has announced that when she dies, she will leave her body to medical science. The medical group named in her will say they hope to get a heart, kidneys, a liver, and a couple of throw pillows.
Oh dear, that was hilarious. And the joke wasn't bad either. 3D Radio offers you, the listener, a whole new world of choice. Stay tuned to Martin Malloy for further demonstrations of
3D Radio.
I think it's the lamest idea since Million Dollar Lunchbox.
Martin Malloy with Best Friend. And just a reminder, Rob Sitch is popping in the next hour.
Excellent.
And he's going to be himself. He's not, because we had the option. Do we want him Mike Moore or do we want Robbie himself? And I'm thinking, you know, I waited.
We had a powwow.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
But I was thinking, you know, if he's Mike Moore, we're not going to get any of those fishing anecdotes out of him.
Damn, let's all face it. That's what we're here for.
So it's Robbie as himself. And also Radio Gladiators on the way. Now, we were mentioning Uday Hussein's chicken shops, and I'd love to know what they're called. If somebody could...
Please, help us out.
Call, you know, fax us maybe. What is the fax number here, Mickey? It's 1-800-816-679. I'd love... What are they? What would they be called?
The war would be...
Uday Red Rooster, I'm thinking. Something like that.
That'd be close.
All the chickens personally tenderised by the owner. But I was actually at a chicken place last night, and Australia has more colourfully named fried chicken joints than any country in the world. That's what I've decided.
Is that right?
You've got Chicken Shack, Chicken Hut, Chicken Town, Chicken in a Basket, Chicken Palace, Chicken Barn, Chicken a Go-Go, and my favourite, the Chicken Machine. Have you seen these places? They're not just frying up chickens, they're making them.
Are they? From nothing.
They're building chickens from scratch on an assembly line. That's how committed they are to the perfect chicken. But anyway, I'm in one of these fried chicken shrines last night, and there's a little have you seen this man computer identikit picture from the cops, you know, wanted poster. And it said it says, citizens are urged to keep an eye out for the above felon wanted on charges of aggravated assault. And there was this description provided. And this is what it said. He is a white male, approximately 5'10", dark hair, average build, no distinguishing features, and carrying a carving knife. Now, to me, the no distinguishing features is kind of contradicted by the carrying a carving knife. But I have been keeping my eyes peeled. So far, I've seen three blokes carrying carving knives, but none of them had dark hair, unfortunately. Anyway, I've had that description rattling around in my head all day, and suddenly it's come to me, and I've called up Crime Stoppers and dobbed in Jeff Janz, the host of Channel 9's What's Cooking? Some of those Queensland mice have got into the studio.
You know it was meant to be a duet. He bailed at the last minute. The pillow!
That's Diesel.
Cutting me out of all royalties.
That's Diesel.
That was my bit.
Well, maybe there'll be a, you know, a special dance mix just with you and Diesel.
Tell it to someone who cares.
Doing the dueling squeaking. This is Martin Malloy, in case you're interested, and... we've got some news. Oh, where's my news from WA? Listen to this. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Prison overcrowding in WA. You know why? Too many bloody ex-premiers. Maybe if they can keep their noses clean, there'll be room for everybody. But the other news from WA is that the Liberal Party bigwigs are meeting tonight to decide what to do with Noel Crichton Brown.
They're going to turf him, aren't they?
Yeah, he could go. And the big question is, what next? What next for Noel?
What does he do from here?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a cue for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
A new job for the beloved Noel Crichton Brown. That's what we're looking for. And I've been having a think. And I'm thinking, you know, natural skills. What can he put to use? I'm thinking maybe one of those 0055 lines.
Yeah.
Just call up Noel because he's already pretty good at the blue talk as it is.
Absolutely.
And he can just sling a few of his catchphrases at you. You know, write this down. I want to have sex with you. That kind of thing. And a bit of Barry White underneath.
Well, screw you, screw your what's off.
That's right.
All that kind of deal.
All that kind of stuff. I think he's a natural for it. What do you reckon, Mick?
Well, I've been looking at some court documents, and apparently he's been known to go to punch. So I thought Mike Tyson, 89 seconds or less, he could earn himself a pretty penny. Or, how's this, Bond villain. You know, Bond walks in, chair turns around, Crichton Brown stroking the cat. So, Mr. Bond.
Choose a city for destruction, Mr. Bond.
Exactly.
Perth.
What about so?
Oh, job done.
Exactly. Okay, well, these are all not really good enough.
No.
So,
crap.
So we need people to call up, and we're not asking you to do it for nothing, people. The prize is the 3-pack of CDs. Mm. Let me tell you about this. I don't know if you were following the whole details of the Pete McNeely-Tyson fight,
mm.
but it says here in the small print in the paper, Tyson fighting $34 million, mm. McNeely 3-pack of CDs. That was mm. his payment, apparently.
Mm. And you know why he fought so well? Because you know how boxers like to psych themselves up to music before the fight? He actually cracked open the 3-pack of CDs and listened to them in his dressing room. And once he'd heard, the sounds that right. were coming out of the 3-pack of CD, he knew he could not be beaten.
And it was the 3-pack that really brought McNeely on board. He said, you know, mm. I'm going to make a fool of myself.
Mm.
I'm going to get punched out. I'm going to, you know, come up with the whole cocoon of horror scenario, and that's going to backfire on me. I'm just going to look like an egg.
He said, I'm not doing it for 2 CDs.
But when they threw in that third one, which I believe is Alanis Morissette, he was on board.
Where do I sign?
And it was, you know, Don, get over here mm. and mm. let me sign something. So, really,
they actually gave Mike Tyson actually put the 3 CDs on the belt. And he wore it after the fight.
I think we've sold the 3-pack now, and of course, $200 cash just to sweeten the deal. Oh. Call us now with your new job for Noel Crichton Brown, 1-800-657-657.
Martin Molloy on the new SAFM.
Sensitive Jan Arden, and really what better song for a segment about Noel Crichton Brown. We're playing Radio Gladiators. There's a good chance Noel's going to get the arse tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for a new gig for the man. We've come up with, I was thinking the sex line business. Mick mm. pictures him more as kind of a new Bond villain. Noel Crichton Blofeld.
That's the one.
Something like that. But let's see what the listeners have got to offer me.
Well, Brett's come up with the goods. What do you think, Brett?
I reckon he could be the new Jim Morrison. I mean, he looked like he was that far off his face after he copped a hammer in from Tyson.
So what Noel would be maybe getting involved with the Australian Doors show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And it'd be Noel Crichton, the Lizard King.
The Lizard King. And he'd just come out and he'd had no top on and he'd just have a pair of brown leather pants.
That's
and just come out and start going, Mr. Mojo Rising.
And there'd be a few, you know, rude words thrown in there. Well,
Jim
Morrison was into the blue talking, so he could do one of those spoken word albums.
Would it be like the Miami gig tone?
I think it would be.
Do you think he'd be flopping any of the tackle out? No?
I wouldn't put it past Noel.
No.
It's painting a very attractive picture, Brett, but we're going to have to move on to Geraldine. Geraldine, what's your suggestion?
Hi, I was just wondering, in fond reference of Uday Hussein, perhaps he could be Saddam's new food tester at the family dinner party.
Oh, right. So, of course, there's a good chance that he'll cop a punch in the head or a broken elbow from Uday.
Well, let's hope so.
I don't care what he does as long as he's sitting down at the table, as long as he's there when the action's going down.
Okay, not bad, Geraldine. Do we have David there? David, are you with us?
Oh, no. David.
Yes.
My God, what are you in traffic? You on a mobile? What's going on?
I am. I'm on a mobile.
All right. Well, let's get to it. What's your idea?
He can open up his own chicken shop, chain of chicken shops, Brownie's Fowl House. He's so used to serving up a lot of crap.
Right, so people would come in and go, do you want it traditional or new Crichton Brown?
The Crichton.
Crichton Brown and crispy.
And he just serves it in a bucket, as per usual.
Yeah, not a bad suggestion. It could work. Do we have Pat there? Pat, what's your suggestion?
Yeah, g'day. I think he should take over from Arthur Tunstall.
Oh, yeah. Do you?
Yeah, he's got that way with people, you know.
He does, doesn't he? I reckon he shouldn't, though, just take it over. I reckon they should be made to duke it out.
Yep.
I reckon they put the gloves on.
Yeah.
I reckon they both go in the next Commonwealth Games in the boxing division up against each other.
Whoever's left standing gets the job.
And they both have to come from the brown corner.
Okay, I think, I think that's not a bit. Have we got time for one more?
We may have one more. Have we got Wayne there?
Yep.
G'day, Wayne. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I think that with the French thing that's happening, you should be the new Australian ambassador for Muwawara Atoll.
He could too. We could send him over with that boatload of politicians currently underway. Or that's been aborted, hasn't it?
I won't.
Not sure.
Not up on your political
agenda.
I think
he's got the goods for the job, though.
You think he's got the goods for the job?
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense to me, but it's not screaming winner.
Who is it? I think that last suggestion.
I think Arthur Tunstall.
Yes, I think the new
there
Arthur Tunstall.
Pat,
Pat, are you still with us?
Yep, still here.
For your suggestion, you've got the 3-pack of CDs. Have you got a speech prepared?
Fantastic.
Yeah, that'll do. It's the 3-pack and it's $200. Thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. We'll do it again tomorrow, but stick around, people, after the news. Rob Sitch.
Programming Martin Malloy.
It's time to welcome somebody. Well, he's the big cheese down there at Frontline. He's got several Logies, two of which are just for fishing. That's what I've been told. And, well, he's our old partner in crime. It's Rob Sitch. Thanks, Rob. It's great to have people we've worked with come on the show because then I get to say partner in crime.
And the friend said that to us, and there's no hint of irony.
No, your old partner in crime.
Oh, now, listen, I've got to seek you guys' forgiveness.
What's that?
I've got a confession to make.
Yeah. Do tell.
I did a Coleman.
A Coleman.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was a half Coleman, half Mark Mitchell. Well,
paint the picture for us.
We better just explain to listeners who don't know what the Coleman is. The Coleman is, it's a photographic pose that comedians love to adopt. It's based on Jonathan Coleman. I think he originated. It's when you just point at something and open your mouth for no reason.
Gob open. Finger out.
Pointing at anything. And let's just
inanimate.
Preferably an object that's not funny.
A big toothbrush?
You can do that.
Put a big toothbrush?
You can go the Coleman on a toothbrush. Masters of the Coleman include Shane Bourne. I don't think he'd mind us outing him as a master of the Coleman. Daryl Summers, he'll go the Coleman.
Yeah. But hey, there's a new kid on the block.
Robbie, who have you Coleman and what were the circumstances? Oh,
the first sentence of this immediately paints the picture. I was doing Burke's backyard. Lay down your cards. It's an open mazare.
Wow, you really did a Coleman.
Now, we don't do that many of your traditional media appearances, but we've known Don and company for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to impress my mum. They didn't ring us. I rang them. I said, get me on Burke's backyard, will you? You'll come down and do it, will you? Because Mum hasn't been very impressed with my television career to date.
No.
And since I can't go on Keeping Up Appearances, which is her other favourite show.
They don't make The Good Life anymore.
So I said, I've done it. So we've turned up. And they've basically they've done it all, and they've looked at me almost in a semi-forlorn fashion and said, we're going to have to take some photos, Rob.
Oh,
and I've gone, and you see that lawnmower over there?
Mm.
You're going to have to act like you're about to mow over the top of Don. And I said to them, guys, this is the only show I'll do it for. I want you to know that. And they go, yeah, just do it. So there I was. You wait until it comes out. I just thought this is going to be like a confessional tonight. I've done it. I'm sorry. It's behind me now. I'll go on the Leno show and admit it all now.
You'll apologise for your insane behaviour.
Has your life changed? Have people treat you differently?
Not yet.
No.
Wait till it comes out. Look, I tell you, I was at a vulnerable stage, though, because it was shot in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Melbourne has had a very poor winter. It's where I live. And I woke up and it was sunny. And I knew I was in trouble. I walked in to get a loaf of bread in the morning, and I was singing the Fisher and Paykel ad. It's a lovely day today. And I heard it and I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm in a vulnerable state. I'm a happy state. I'm moldable.
You shouldn't have said that either, because you know every one of our listeners now is not going to be able to get that tune out of their head for the rest of the night. That one line, you've done it.
Well, wait a second. What was the competition you had on over the last few weeks? What is the official name of that piece of music that people had to play down the tube? Was it a Roy Hampson?
They had to play Manamana.
Now, Roy Hampson had that on his show.
Did he? And Roy's still with us. But hang on, I want to know about Burke's Backyard. What happens when you go on the show? Does Don turn it all on? Is there a limo? Are there crackers and cheese and, you know, fish platters, fruit baskets?
No, they've kept the common touch. They turn up with a cameraman and sound guy and Don. Don's just like he appears on camera. They get out of a minivan. You know,
and he's really there. It's not his bits aren't shot later and edited in.
No, unless morphing's been taken to another level. And they get out and they walk around just like, and I point out plants and various things like that. And he knows all the Latin names of them.
Of course,
it's the Australian equivalent of doing like a
a guest spot on the Love Boat, isn't it?
You know,
do two Burke's Backyards and tell you, you're in the Hall of Fame, pal.
Oh, if only. If only.
Well, it's...
It was just gorgeous. Yeah.
You've put the foot in, Rob, and it's only a matter of time before you're showing James Morrison your car. So good on you. We'll be back to talk more with Rob Sitch in just a moment on Martin Malloy. Dancing in the dark, that's what I'll call it today. This is Martin Malloy, and Rob Sitch is with us. Rob, have you got another... It seems to me whenever we get people who we've worked with in the past, we start talking photographers. It's a running theme on the program.
And they out themselves.
Yeah, I've got... Unfortunately, this might be a little bit of outing of myself. And I went down to do another story. Jeez, it's all coming. My life is flashing before my eyes in here. But it was in the character of Mike Moore, where you can get away with just about anything when you've got a wig like that on. And I went down, and the guy said, can you do this? I could feel my dignity slipping away. And then I just kept saying to him, remind yourself, you're in character, Rob. You've got a wig on. You can do it. You can get away with it.
It doesn't reflect on you.
I think I can.
And I realized I reached a nadir. Virtually, what's the bottom? Nadir? Yes.
That'll do. Nadir.
And when I was caught in a beachside toilet block, unchanging, as Mike Moore imitating Gary Sweet, on film, beside a disposable needle, whatever.
That's too much information.
And I'm just warning you, I'm just settling in. Guys, forgive me. A second time.
Is there anything else you want to get off your chest while you're here, Robbie?
Might come to me.
Okay, the program is young and we'll get to all that, but I want to talk frontline. I want to know, the series is going well. Are there any twists? Is there anything you can break on the show that's coming up? Are there any surprises? Melrose Place style.
Well, I've got to tell you, we're doing a forum.
Oh,
we
really?
Shot that during the week.
Excellent.
And that's always made for good fun. Uh-huh. You know, a bit of that hench sort of thing where you get a whole bunch of people in the studio and hope like hell they fight with each other.
It's designed for that effect, really, isn't it?
Stand up the front and say, we're going to bring them together now.
Yeah.
And as inflammatory as you can be.
Right, what was the topic, the issue?
Serbo-Croatian issues.
Oh, of course.
Beautiful.
Made for fireworks. Let's just say Mike Moore's in the middle trying to settle things down unsuccessfully.
Right. Now, also, I've noticed you did a story on the program Frontline last week about the methadone clinics. And now Ray's pinched that. Ray Martin's running with that this week. Is Ray getting, you know, is there a bit of a sort of reversal of what happened on the program? Ray's getting faxes. They're doing this. Why don't we do it?
I'm starting to wonder which one's the serious program at the moment.
Who's pulling the piss out of who?
I'm just wondering whether they're sitting over there and going, geez, they're pulling the piss out of it. Geez, it's a good storyline.
Exactly.
Let's go and do it. No, I don't know how that happened. I mean, it's Bert's Wheels with about 40 current affairs stories on it. They just spin the wheel and do whatever comes up.
Now, what is your relationship like with Ray? Do you ever run into Ray sort of backstage or at the Logies or anything? And
you know, I never have. As closest I've come is he brushed past me. And it wasn't like he was ignoring me.
Mm.
It's just that... you know, I've never actually come across him at any charity event. You know those places, you know, your People's Choices, your Logies.
Oh, yeah.
But I suspect that he's got a lot of good things to say about me.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, you'll be a top bloke yet, Rob.
Your day will come. You'll be culminating away on a Ray Martin special sometime soon for sure.
Oh, I'm sure I'm a mate somewhere down the track.
All right, now, what about tonight's Frontline? What's happening tonight? What can we look forward to? 8 o'clock on the ABC.
Well, basically tonight it starts off on a serious theme and then Mike winds up later to produce some vintage silliness.
Vintage silliness, that's what will get your mum watching. See, if your mum's listening, she's got vintage silliness. That sounds a bit like, you know, Waiting for God.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be on for that.
A bit of Vicar of Dibley in the middle of that. No, Stu, basically, the cameraman, does a bit of a Rodney King, films a bashing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes through the throes of wondering whether he should have intervened or whether he, you know, basically, well, we've all been through it. We've been at the football at one stage in our life and watched a guy's head getting kicked in. And I don't know about you, but I've stood back and yelled, fight, fight, fight. I wasn't the pacifist. And basically, Stu is the same. And then he goes through the throes of should he have intervened. Somehow the My Lai Massacre winds its way in there as a moral judgment.
Well, let me just put it in a nutshell if I can. Stu films a bashing. And with hilarious consequences.
That'll get mum in.
Absolutely.
Last week episode, Beauty, too much Tommy G. He's not going to walk away with this one too, is he?
How did Tommy G walk in there, did he?
Oh, man. You know what he just, he comes, waltzes in nonchalantly, pushes a couple of buttons on the photocopying machine, supposedly background, and, mate, you can't take your eyes off it. And you've stolen it from under your eyes.
I tell you what, stardom hasn't gone to his head, Mick, because last week our first assistant, Annie Maver, yelled down and goes, Tommy, you're coming up to play the what is he playing? Who knows? Photocopy your man. And he goes, that's the last time I'm doing it. Door slammed. Out of it. Now that doesn't sound like the Tommy you know, does it?
Door slammed off to his caravan.
That's it.
Nah, no, you wait. The photocopying man will have his own spoken word album in the ABC shops by the end of the year. That's my guess. Okay, Rob, thanks for coming in today.
Always a pleasure.
And don't forget.
Thanks, Mickey.
Frontline, 8 o'clock on the ABC tonight. Oh, it's gong time. Gracie, could you hit the gong for me?
Hey. What? Did I miss a meeting?
Oh,
hand me that gong stick. You want this chair too?
And now, join us on a voyage of discovery as we venture into the mind of one of Australia's most flamboyant footballers and eavesdrop on his innermost thoughts. This is the inner life of Warwick Kappa. That was a rather unnecessary pause. And there's another one. You're listening to ABCFM, older music. Have you made the switch? Let's find out what's happening out on the streets as we cross to Alistair in one of the grey thunders.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Splendid. Just splendid. What's happening?
Well, we're parked rather comfortably outside the concert hall, distributing ABCFM cravats, dinner jackets, and copies of the new compact disc by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Wonderful. And just a reminder, Bachtober is just months away.
Hold on, Michael. The van seems to be moving. I'm surrounded by boisterous youngsters.
Silver chair.
We don't have any silver chair. Please don't roll the van. I've got to take it over to the opera house to judge today's dash for Debussy.
Well, a slight technical problem there. So in the meantime, let's find out why you've made the switch to ABCFM.
I've made the switch because, quite frankly, that other station is abominable. Last week, I heard one of their announcers mispronounce Stravinsky. You gentlemen, on the other hand, seem to have a lot more fun. Last Wednesday, when Douglas and the Morning Jesters decided to play the opening refrain from Mozart's Don Giovanni at the incorrect speed, my wife and I shared a knowing smile, something we haven't done since 1963. Bravo, ABCFM, you really do go right off.
Well, thank you. And now, Beethoven's unfinished symphony in D. Well, I'm afraid he didn't get very far with that one at all.
And 220 Main North Road Prospect.
But just before we go, listen to this from the paper today. The body of Grateful Dead leader Jerry Garcia has been cremated and his ashes will soon be scattered in the ocean. Although this is in compliance with his final wishes, some see it as a great missed opportunity as the ashes are said to have a street value of $2,000 an ounce. And the singer's family have already rejected an offer of twice that from a Mike Whitney of Australia. But time for us to go, and thanks to... Yeah, that's all we've got. No more Uday news today. We've got to thank our guests, Rob Sitch and Mike Tyson, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Mr. Heather Locklear from Bon Jovi. Richie Sambora will be joining us live. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.